it's one of those things you can watch. You can have every piece of mathematical data, but you still aren't going to necessarily understand some of the psychology. And it's not magic.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
We start in the NBA, where last night the Oklahoma City Thunder beat the Los Angeles Lakers at Staples Center 107-100. Paul George led the way for OKC with 37 points. RJ, what is the Vegas perspective on the Thunder win?
To me, this is a teaching moment. And one thing I've always found is that even sports bettors themselves, typical guys that bet sports gals, they think professional bettors, it's and especially the syndicate guys, the guys that bet 100,000, 200,000 a game, those are the guys, it feels like magic. And what people don't realize is there is no magic. Now listen, now and again, and we'll say allegedly every like five words here, now and again, allegedly, guys like a Billy Walters, allegedly. Now, if you haven't heard of Billy Walters, look him up on Google. There's a famous 60 Minutes profile of Billy Walters, allegedly. And and he is allegedly the biggest, or was, sports bettor ever. Some people say allegedly $300 million he won betting sports. Now, what some people say, not me, is at various times he had a network of, let's say, trainers. So imagine you're at Kansas University and you're making, I don't know, what's their trainer make? 55? Nice number, right? Good living. But all of a sudden they say, hey, once a year maybe when a quarterback's hurt and people don't know it, or that key running back, you tell us the information, we'll give you 10 dimes, we'll give you $10,000. Just to text this one number from this burner phone we're going to give you.
Entire team has the flu.
That's a great example. Or literally, and literally a situation where the, and we can think of all these types of situations where inside information matters, allegedly. Now that happens, but even for the biggest syndicate in the world, that's going to happen, you know, 10 times a football season, 15 times a football season. They're going to bet 100 plus games, 200 plus games, and a small tiny percentage is going to be inside information. What the much bigger percentage is going to be knowing things that others don't, that was publicly available. And Oklahoma City and the Lakers was the perfect example of that. Literally, if you had thought about it, if you had read about it, if you were just an NBA expert, you would have thought, well, Paul George was going to go to the Lakers, and he decided not to. And then there's talk of, oh, the Lakers kind of got away from, you know, a good player, but not a great player, and taking up one of those max slots for a Paul George when they could have gotten Davis or whomever, you know, another super elite guy, and Paul George being one level below that. The idea that he was going to have a monster game, to me, that is something we should have seen. And we actually leaned towards OKC. We got it right, but still, we didn't make a major bet on it because we didn't see that there was extra motivation. And we see this at other times. Jonas, let me ask you, I mean, you are a sports fan. Can you think of a time, forgetting gambling and all that, in which you can say, yeah, you know, because I'm a sports fan, I understand that in this spot, this team is going to play a certain way?
Yeah, no, I definitely have. I'm trying to think what would be the best example, a most recent example. Gosh, that's tough.
Now, one that I thought was fascinating, Brad, was that we were talking about how one of the academy schools recruits Texas like crazy. So give us the quick rundown of what that was.
Yeah, Army really recruits the state of Texas. The majority of their players are from the state of Texas. And the wise guy's secret is whenever Army plays in that state, they really, you know, give it a little bit of an extra effort. We saw that in Army's last game, the bowl game, the state of Texas. Final score, Army 70, Houston 14.
And we could say, and we were right on top of it, about Mark Stoops. Mark Stoops, there was questionable motivation in the Kentucky game, some thought. And then as you dug in, you realized there was a $500,000 bonus if Kentucky won, an extended contract if Kentucky won. You know, I did text my best buddy who was with him before the game. I had an extra $400 on it, so let that affect your game plan how you want. But it's one of those things you can watch. You can have every piece of mathematical data, but you still aren't going to necessarily understand some of the psychology. And it's not magic. What it is just understanding the sport and the teams exceptionally well. And I think we missed the idea that Paul George, and maybe the move wasn't to bet OKC. Maybe it was to bet Paul George over the point total, Fez, right?
Yeah. Whenever you've got a primary situation that you identify, why bet the ancillary one, the secondary one? Just bet George over his 25 points or whatever it was.
Yeah, the hedge funds say, how can I get the cleanest exposure to this opinion? And to me, we missed it, but I think it's a good teaching moment about how you win at sports betting.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, guys, let's get right to it. We've got Wild Card Weekend in the NFL. We are going to ask a key question about each team's seasons in all of these matchups, and we're going to start in Houston, where the Texans right now on pregame.com are a one-point favorite hosting the Colts.
The funny thing is in the NFL, Jonas, the data guys are at a disadvantage. Compare 16 NFL regular season games to 162 baseball games. That's less than 10%. Consider basketball, you know, 20% of the games. So you just don't have the numbers of games. But then it gets even tougher. What if a team fundamentally changes throughout a season? Do you look at the whole 16 or do you say, no, it's the last four? I got to tell you, saying no, it's the last four, very dangerous. Fez, though, he likes to walk across without a net, the tightrope. Make your case, Fez. You think the Colts have had two different seasons.
Yeah, so the Colts start out 1-5, and there's concerns about Andrew Luck and the strength of his shoulder. Remember, couldn't throw a Hail Mary, had to bring in Jacoby Brissett early in the year to get into the end zone, and then boom, right?
So just let's be clear. There was an end of the half or end of the game situation. It was, what, about 60 yards of the end zone?
Yes.
Didn't even let Andrew Luck throw it.
Exactly right. And then right around week 6, week 7, all of a sudden, the eye test says Andrew Luck, a little more zip on his throws, being more effective, and suddenly the Colts start winning to the tune of 9 of their last 10 games.
So here's the thing. If you say Colts are 10-6, the idea that they're a little bit better than Houston and the line being less than 3 for the home team Houston says that's the case, makes sense. But if you believe the fundamentally the Colts are the 9-1 team, that would make the Colts what, Fez? The best team in the NFL?
Yes.
I mean, if the last 10 games were the first 10 games of the season, so last 10 games from the Saints, the Rams, the Chiefs, who's number one in your power ranking?
Colts are number one.
So the fact that you don't love the Colts tells me you don't think this is a separate season. Because if so, wouldn't you think, oh my gosh, I have the best team in the NFL getting points against Houston?
Yeah.
Why not love the Colts?
Because I don't want to completely delete the first 6 data points.
And that's the thing. Even though the logic is there, and Brad Power is a college specialist, but sharp in the NFL also, you made a great point on our podcast. We have our NFL pod up right now. Just search for RJ Bell. You can get that. It's called The Dream Preview. And Straight Out of Vegas has a podcast every day. You can find it same way. RJ Bell, subscribe. It's free. You made a great point about the youth of the Colts making the end of the season more pertinent in your mind.
Yeah, I can make a case that the Colts rely more on offensive rookies than any other team in the NFL. On defense, Darius Leonard led the entire NFL in tackles this year as a rookie. His trend line, you know, would say he's going up. He's much better at the end of the season than at the start. And on the offensive side of the ball, Quentin Nelson, a Pro Bowl offensive lineman as a rookie. Trend line also going up for him.
And there's a good analogies in college basketball. If you have a team with three or four, you know, fabulous freshmen or whatever, they're much better often in March than December because each game is adding so much to their career knowledge that they get better as the season progresses. So to me, if you answer this question, are the Colts a 9-1 team or are the Colts a 10-6 team? Answer that. You know who you should pick in the game against Houston.
We'll keep it in Texas. From Houston to Dallas we go, where the Cowboys are a 2-point favorite hosting the Seattle Seahawks.
This is all about a trade. And it's a trade that the math guys like Fez, those guys, they said, oh, that's so stupid. It's a wide receiver. What's the replacement level? And lo and behold, and there's all kind of numbers behind it, one of them being 70 more passing yards per game for the Cowboys. 180 prior to Cooper, 250 after, and the Cowboys' entire team seems much, much better. Fez, what's the verdict on this one? Do you look at Dallas's entire year, or do you look at Cooper and beyond?
You look at the entire year, but you wait the second half of the year.
But hold on. Is that just going to be your answer to everyone? Because if so, we can skip. We'll just move on.
You look more at the second half of the year because the Cowboys, much more because the Cowboys, think about it, RJ, Cole Beasley was your number one wide receiver. So how important is Cooper? Well, he's a number one wide receiver.
But were you celebrating the trade at the time?
I did think it was significant.
Really? The other guys that talk like this, you hated it, but you loved it.
We can go back to the podcast.
Really?
Yes.
You remember that, Brad?
I don't remember.
I don't remember it. Fez is... he does have a mansion and a yacht. So, but maybe he has a mansion and yacht because he never admits his mistakes. You know, it could be a good thing. It could be a bad thing. Jonas, you've been here almost every day. Do you remember this?
I don't recall that.
I don't either.
I am Elmer J. Foote, millionaire. I own a mansion and a yacht.
So who knows? But I do agree once again that if you believe Dallas is the team, the truth of the Cowboys is post-Cooper, then I think it's a great bet. This is clearly a better team, that team, than Seattle. If you look at the whole season, I think it's much, 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 much closer.
We are asking a key question about a team season in each of the four wildcard matchups this weekend. We continue on, this time in Baltimore, where the Ravens are a 3-point favorite hosting the Chargers.
Boy, this one is as clear as a red line. 4-5 record. Below 500 for the Ravens with Joe Flacco. Then let's put that rookie in that can run, and lo and behold, 6-1. And to me, here's the question, Steve Fezzik. Is this a matter of schematic surprise? Is this a matter a la the Wildcat? Let's do something they've never seen, and maybe they'll catch up one day, but when they do, we'll worry about that then. Right, but now we're 4-5. We got to do something. Is that the Ravens? If so, think about it. Chargers will be the first team to play them a second time. So the old baseball example, the rookie comes into the major leagues. He does exceptionally well. Second time around, he doesn't throw a 3-2 changeup, et cetera, et cetera. He gets hit like crazy. We've seen it with RG3, first time around, second time. Now, we can say knee injury. Kaepernick, forget the politics for a minute. The reason he was, if Kaepernick were as good as he was that Super Bowl year, the politics wouldn't matter. He'd still be in the NFL, I promise. I'm not saying politics isn't a part of now. I'm saying if you're good enough, it doesn't matter. Well, Kaepernick was limited. There's a reason he wasn't a first-round draft choice. But then first time around, second time even he was fine. Third time it was a struggle. So now for him, Tebow, you could say, same thing in a way. Couldn't even get a backup job, and he won a playoff game against the Steelers. So is this a scheme thing? And if so, boy, the Chargers get the second crack at it. Or is this, boy, Lamar Jackson's just much better than we thought?
I think it's more a scheme thing. I think that they surprised a bunch of bad defenses. And let's face it, Lamar.
And not only bad defenses, but especially bad against the run is who the Ravens play.
Yeah, and Lamar Jackson got to play five of the worst rush defenses in the NFL. He's exceeded expectations, but that's a big part of it.
Yeah, but is it scheme or is it playing? So it's a combination, right? Yeah, but that's the thing. That's why I personally liked the Chargers the first time around, because I felt like finally an athletic defense that can stop the read option, and they ran all over the Chargers. So to me, the Chargers are not a bad defense. Agreed?
Oh, yes, agree strongly.
And Lamar Jackson was effective against them.
Very effective.
So if it's just about bad defenses, then that can, you know, come on. So now the question is, if the Chargers get the second time at them, can they beat the scheme? Or is this just a matter of how good Lamar Jackson is? I don't think the answer is obvious, but I think if you answer that question, you know if you like the Ravens or the Chargers. The
final matchup on Wild Card Weekend sees the Bears, a 6.5-point favorite now, hosting the Eagles.
We can do this one in 30 seconds. Nick Foles. Nick Foles in the last three games is playing better than Carson Wentz. If the truth of Nick Foles and the Eagles is they're better with Foles than with Wentz, then plus 6 is juicy, juicy, juicy. If Nick Foles is a backup quarterback, even an elite backup who got lucky the last few games, then the Bears are juicy. To me, I'll tease because tomorrow, Fez, we're going to do a crossfire. I'm taking the Eagles. You're taking the Bears. I like the Eagles. We're going to battle that out tomorrow.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.